You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along. Good to have you with us. You're listening to William Hill's Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner and Dave Tindall in the hot seats this week to look ahead to the Lioness Open on the European Tour and the FedEx St. Jude Classic on the PGA Tour. If I start slurring my words midway through this podcast, yes. I'm still feeling the effects, Mr. Tindall, of a heavy few days in Munich, one of the finest cities in the world, and too many steins, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been there before, and I heartily agree. It's a lovely place, isn't it?
Unbelievable city. I'd been when I was younger, but I'd forgotten what it was really like, and obviously, going at this age now, when you can indulge a little bit more than I could when I was younger. Just a fantastic city, really is. Tube's brilliant. The beer's fantastic. The food's great. The views are fantastic. It was just a good 4 days.
You've stopped short of saying women and.
Well, I know we're obviously it's an over 18 program. This, given that it's a William Hill Golf Podcast, but some younger listeners might be just interested in the game of golf, and I don't want to corrupt their young minds at this point in their lives.
Well, why don't we? We should organise a trip to the European Tour event in Munich, shouldn't we?
It's not happened yet, has it? Is it coming up, the European Tour event in Munich?
Yeah, let's while you witter on about the course or something,
that's all I do in this seat. I just witter on about courses all the time. Just before we get stuck into the two events this week, you'll have to fill me in a little bit with what happened last week, Dave, and Swedes taking over. Alex Noren, winner of the European Tour event, and David Lingmerth getting the better of Justin Rose in that Memorial playoff. Good win for Lingmerth. Yeah. Surprised to see him win.
Brilliant. He was kind of the guy up there. You thought, well, he won't be the one when it was Molinari and Rose sort of going at it, but.
But Molinari was the other guy that you thought he won't be the one
well,
either.
I said on air, well, he's never won in American and he struggles to win in Europe. So I was always with Rose, but with a slight reluctance that my eyes could see he wasn't playing very well. Mm. So it was almost like, well, this will probably be Rose by, not default, but, you know, slightly because no one's coming at him. But Lingmerth did nothing wrong. I mean, he's had a couple of big finishes, hasn't he? He was runner-up in a Players' Championship.
Yep.
You know, highly thought of. Obviously, he's based himself in Florida a lot. I just wonder as well, because I think he was fairly close to maybe going back for the Swedish Open. Is it one of those ones where you think, well, look, I'll prove I've made the right decision?
That's a good point.
Yeah, and so what a week for the Swedes.
Unbelievable. And did Sophie Gustafsson win on the women's tour as well? I think she did.
Did she?
Sure, I read a tweet that she'd won the... I don't follow the women's golf as closely as I should, Dave, but I think she won on the female tour as well.
Marvellous stuff, yeah. Alex Noren was... I mean, it wasn't just Alex Noren that week. I mean, I think going into the last day, 6 of the top 8 were Swedes. Really sort of home dominance. A couple of the younger guys, the young amateur guy, played really well.
So Marcus Kinholt was
there? Was lots of debate on his pronunciation of his name.
Oh, was there?
But yes, you're talking about the right one. And Dan Torpo, I think I mentioned him.
Yeah, you did mention him.
He was leading at one point as well. Stenson didn't quite get going, but Noren was a very obvious winner. That link I said about players who played well in the Dubai Desert Classic, well, he was runner-up there that year, so it was a pretty obvious winner, although fairly shortish odds.
Yeah, we didn't tip him, unfortunately, and a couple of big prize winners back-to-back on the PGA Tour with Lingmerth winning last week and Stephen Bowditch winning the week before. We'll get stuck into the FedEx St. Jude very shortly.
Munich, by the way.
Go on.
Couple of weeks. Yeah, let's get back there.
25th to the 28th of June.
BMW International Open at Golf Club Munich Eichenreich. It's a popular venue, isn't it? It's a common venue on the European Tour.
We've got a good run of European Tour events, actually, in Europe at the moment, haven't we? Because we've got this one this week in Austria, followed by the US Open, then the European Tour event,
yeah.
The BMW International Open, and then one of the best events on the European Tour, the Open de France.
Yeah, of course.
Also known as the French Open.
The Ryder Cup venue as well in 2018. Yeah. I played that one actually a couple of years when the French were trying to woo me to write nice things about their bid. And I did as well.
Well, yeah,
but that's all it took. I didn't have to.
You weren't bribed then?
Was that like FIFA or something?
Yeah, I know. You're on shaky ground at the moment.
No, I had a lovely meal with. I sat around the table with Jan van der Velde. Lovely man.
What's the course like then? Because it looks incredibly difficult on telly.
Yes, there's lots of. If you just go off the fairway, there's lots of kind of double bogey type rough in there where you're dead.
Yeah.
And there's some great finishing holes where the sort of risk and reward over water, really ideal for Ryder Cup. You could see those sort of last four holes, they've been brilliant sort of finishes. But yeah, it's nice and undulating, good viewing for the crowd. It'd be a brilliant venue.
Let's get stuck into this week then, Dave. We've got the Lioness Open, first of all, on the European Tour. And Bernd Wiesberger is the 4-1 favourite for the event. Chris Wood is 10-1. Richie Ramsey is 14s. Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 16-1. Maximilian Kiefer, Nicholas Kolsarts, Romain Vettel and Tyrrell Hatton, all 20s. And it's 25-1 and bigger the rest. 10th successive staging of the event in Austria, and the tournament is back at the Diamond Country Club for the 6th successive year. It's a par 72, measuring 7,433 yards. And despite the increase in the purse this year, Dave, it's not really a field that whets the appetite. Wiesberger's the favourite, and it's easy to see why in this sort of field.
Yeah, initially you just think, oh, well, he's Austrian and he's playing in his home open. He's bound to go well, but his course record is ridiculously good. He won it in 2012, lost in the playoff last year. I think he's got a 5th and a 14th.
He has, yep.
He's one of these ones where he's expected to go well and live up to the hype, and he does. So I think you were saying off air, I mean, what price could he be, really?
Well, yeah, we were talking...
4-1 we've got him at.
We were talking about this event momentarily before we started recording, and he does look a short price. Instinctively, you think Bernd Wiesberger 4-1. Yes. You couldn't possibly back him at that price. But then you look through the quality of the field, his recent form, having just lost in a playoff in the Irish Open to Søren Kjeldsen, and then you match that with that course form that you've just mentioned, and you think how big can you go, Bernd Wiesberger? Where do you stop? And 4-1 is too short from a personal perspective. But I wouldn't want to be a layer at 13-2 either.
No,
it's that sort of.
And you kind of move on to the second five. Chris Wood at 10s. I mean, then almost Wiesberger looks good at 4s.
Yeah,
almost,
no, I agree with
given
that.
Given all the home advantage and everything, it's one of those ones where you could maybe look around the world of golf or the world of sport this week and have a cheeky little lucky 15 or something and throw him in and not feel bad about yourself.
You've got the senior players as well, haven't you, if you wanted a golf lucky 15 this week. So plenty to go at. Not a pick for me, not a pick for you, Dave, and you've not got a selection in the event.
I'm struggling, really. I mean, the one angle I did look at, and I didn't expect this. I'm not sure what I was thinking when we talked about Northern Europe on the radio the other week and what it was. I remember on Twitter you said you thought Austria was Northern Europe.
Yes.
Probably because you're thinking skiing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I looked at the weather forecast, and it's going to touch like 90.
Is it really?
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. Yeah, I was thinking skiing.
Yeah,
automatically.
You sort of think skiing, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Hans Krankel.
I think you were thinking Arnold Schwarzenegger. I was just thinking skiing.
Okay, well, that's sort of my Austrian kind of knee-jerk reaction when I have to name something. So hot weather wouldn't be on my top 10 list of named things about Austria, but that's the weather forecast this week. And apparently it was very similar in Switzerland last week, which is another place you think of as mountainous and white-capped, lovely views and everything. So with that in mind, as you do start to wonder, after watching everyone wearing woolly hats for the last 2 weeks, you think maybe some of these guys, you know, Southern Europeans, it's going to be their week. So the Spaniards would be the obvious people to look at. And we've got Cabrera-Bello at 16s. De La Riva at 50s, he's played well here before. Carlos Piggin was someone I did look at, but I was very much thinking three figures. He plays on the Asian tour, so he's always playing in hot weather, and he's Spanish. Mm. But 66, yeah. I want to double that almost.
I have got a pick here, just the one pick for me. I'm going with Lee Slattery each way, a point each way at 50-1. I thought 50s was fair, actually, in this field.
He's got lots in his favour, hasn't he?
Yeah,
week?
He has. There's not that much science to the pick, really. He's just in decent form and he's got good course form. That's about it, really. He missed out, didn't he, last year in the race to Dubai by one spot, finished 111th behind Anthony Wall on the race to Dubai. So he's got limited starts this year. But on the back of three missed cuts, he finished tied for 43rd at the Irish Open. And then last week, finished tied for 7th at the Nordea Masters. He ranked tied 2nd in greens in regulation last week as well. And with a more solid week with the putter, he'd have finished higher up the leaderboard there. His statistics were good. He likes this setup. 4th place last year, 9th place finish in 2013. He knows that he's got to perform with his limited starts if he's going to get his tour card back full-time. And I thought 50s was fair in this field for a guy that has course form and is now in a little bit of form as well. So I'll play him a point each way, Lee Slattery at 50-1.
Yeah, that seems... I'm happy that you've gone along with that. Yeah. It was kind of on my sort of long list and...
Just a logical selection with no real...
Yeah. Yeah, at the same price, I did look at Daniel Im. He won on the Challenge Tour last week in Switzerland. Californian guy. He started doing the old quoting Uline and Koepka as his kind of role models.
He's a bit... Because I looked at him as well. He's a bit older than I thought he was.
How old is he?
29. Which I always think of him as like one like a Koepka or a Uline who's come over straight from college and decided to go progress through this career path, taking in events in Europe and then moving back to the PGA Tour full-time. But I thought he'd be a bit younger than that.
So you've written him off as...
No, I've not written him off. I had him on my list as well because he actually, when he finished 7th here last year...
Yeah, that's the thing as well. He's got an unexpected bonus course form.
Course record as well. Mm. 64 he shot here in the last round. But 50s were short for him, Daniel.
Yeah, that's what's ultimately going to put me off him. But I think he's worth flagging up as someone who might go well, given that he won in hot conditions last week, just in his neighbouring Switzerland. They actually made a point of saying, oh, did you like the hot weather? Because he's from California. He went, yeah, I'm used to this. So,
right.
There's certainly scope. And that course form is a nice sort of backup, isn't it, for sort of throwing a dart at somebody who... in theory might go well. Yeah, well, he's already showed he can go well on the course. Manassero, the normal Manassero watch. Could this be the week where he gets it back? But I don't know, 50
he's thrown in a lot of big numbers, hasn't he?
He shot another 80 the other week.
Yeah,
he?
I mean, he's tough to recommend, even though if you think about pure historical quality, he'd be high on the list at 50-1.
Yeah, and beyond that, struggling a bit. Vatel always plays well here. Bordy's shot lots of good rounds here, but they're sort of 20 and 25s. So I think we'll just go with your one,
I think. Yeah, no, that's fine. 1 point each way, Lee Slattery at 50-1, and keep an eye out on Daniel Im as well at 50-1. And let's move on. Definitely the feature this week is the FedEx St. Jude Classic, and Dustin Johnson is the favourite here at 5-1. Phil Mickelson, 12-1. Billy Horschel, 16s. Ryan Palmer, 16-1. Webb Simpson is 16-1. Harris English is 20s. Brooks Koepka and Jamie Donaldson, both 25-1. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. This is an intriguing event this week, the week before the US Open, Dave. And it's one that's seen an eclectic mix of winners in recent times as well. Dustin Johnson and Harris English have won here in recent years, but so have Ben Crane and Harrison Fraser. You'd say that those... two pairs of players on different ends of the spectrum, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a tricky one, really, because you kind of think, are the players here who are just trying to use it as a tune-up? And then there's a lot of players who've just played 36 holes US sectional qualifying on Monday.
Yes.
I mean, that's led to a lot of withdrawals, but also players might use it as a bit of a slingshot to play well this week. And I think Troy Merritt played, did a similar thing last year, was runner-up, but he'd played the US Open qualifier earlier that week, so he kind of rode that hot form.
He'd qualified for the US Open, yeah.
So he sort of rode through that. So could be a similar kind of thing, but it's another one where, and we love Dustin Johnson, don't we? But 5-1 again, it's sort of.
I'd rather have 4-1 Wiesberger than 5-1 Dustin Johnson, I think, this week.
I think it'll take a lot less winning, won't it? The Austrian one.
You'd think so. Yeah. Just a little bit of a word about the course as well. TPC Southwind, once again, the venue. It's remained a constant for this tournament since the modifications in 2004. A par 70, measuring 7,239 yards. And Dave, it's a venue which rewards good ball striking as well, the ability to work the ball both ways. And it gives the shorter players a real chance as well, doesn't it? As detailed by the list of winners here, those that have played well here in the past, gives everyone's on an equal footing this week, really.
Yeah, I think so. And it's par 70, so there's obviously two less par fives just to demolish, which we kind of, you'd think, would go against Dustin Johnson, but obviously there's other things he does well on this course. I think scrambling's important on the course. So yeah, there's a few traits. It's hard to get a real angle on the type of winner here, but I've got a couple of picks. About you?
I have two picks. You lead off.
Yeah, it's not too thrilling a price or anything, but, and I'm kind of stealing one of your favourite people, or Mike's certainly, Billy Horschel.
Yeah.
I just think I was sort of waiting for a sort of solider bank of form before. So I think he is one. Once he's in the groove, isn't he?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so I was kind of waiting for it to happen rather than anticipate it. So he obviously played well at Sawgrass, then he improved again, didn't he, at Memorial after a few weeks off. And then he's got the course. So you think, right, he's on the right track here. He just needs another good course for him. And this is a good course for him. He's top 10 the last 2 years. And he's a quality ball striker, like you say. Like you've said before, you've shown up all his qualities. So he's just one who I think he's 16-1. I always think he's like on the edge of each way respectability. So
that's your price, isn't it?
14-1. I sort of go,
yeah.
But 16, it divides nicely by four. Just seems fair enough. You couldn't be too greedy on him this week. Guy who won the FedEx Cup last year, you can't expect miracle prices. But I'd rather back him at slightly shorter than what I might desire in a great bank of form than trying to guess him at 40s.
That's the problem, isn't it? If you preempt it, you get the price.
Yeah.
If you wait for the bank of form, like you've just mentioned, you get that reduced price. And that's always going to be the way, isn't it?
But then if he's a player who does play well off the back of good, then I'd rather do it that way.
16-1, a point each way?
Well, because it's that sort of price. We'll go a point and a half, I think.
A point and a half each way, Billy Horschel at 16-1. I'm going to go Brian Harman as my first selection here. 66-1. A point each way, Brian Harman. Just the sort of type of golf course that he really excels on, Harman. And I'm hoping he can build on that sixth place finish here at Southwind last year. He's come back into form as well. You look at his mid-season lull. That was on some quite difficult long golf courses. But a return to shorter, tighter tracks, he's found his game again, really. He made his first cut in six starts at the Heritage, backed that up with a tie for eighth at the Players before tying for 10th at Colonial. Two venues that I believe correlate, Colonial and Sawgrass, with the demands of Southwind, where you've got to strike the ball well. He was actually third in strokes gained tee to green at Colonial, putted superbly at the Players. Hopefully this is the week where he'll be able to put it all together, Brian Harman. And he qualified for the US Open in the Memphis section on Monday, which I'd take as good news, really, that a player's in decent form. I think it's better to lean that way rather than the other. And I'm hoping he'll be able to, if he gets in contention, draw on last season's, when he is a winner on tour, the John Deere last year. So I like Brian Harman here at 66.
I had a shortlist of six and he was on there.
Was he? Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm glad you've got with him and can put him up on the podcast's behalf. but all you've said really with Brian Harman. I think
you've just got to stick with him on certain types of tracks, yeah. Haven't you, really?
Yeah, so that's all good. 66-1. I've got one also at 66-1, which I didn't. I'm surprised I came at him. I did come at it from a stats point of view because it's a par 70. I looked at par 3 and par 4 performance, obviously.
Yeah.
More weighted towards that. I looked at scrambling because I thought that was important. And I looked at bogey avoidance. Can't remember why I looked at bogey avoidance. But
they'll have been method in that madness, yeah. Won't they, somewhere along the line?
Yeah. I think it might be something Rob Bolton wrote that I thought, well, I'll add that in as another...
So on his power rankings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have seen that on his power rankings, I think.
Yeah. So I kind of listed those four things and just took my short list of six or seven that Harman was on and looked at if there was anyone who might come out decently. And Will Wilcox was surprisingly high up in all those categories. I think first in bogey avoidance. Didn't really expect that. I thought he'd be about 121st in all of them or something, but he was in the top 25 for all four. So I think he's got the game to do well here. And lo and behold, he played it last year, came tied 19th, which doesn't sound too amazing, but it was his second best finish of the season. He'd missed the cut either side. I always like that when they throw in a good performance, where you think, oh, maybe they must have liked the course then.
Yeah.
And then other little bits and bobs. He's been playing well. I mean, he's got conditional status, so he's had to dip down into the web.com, but he was 16th and 12th in his last two web.com. And then in his last PGA Tour event, he was 22nd at the Byron Nelson, shooting 68 and a hat-trick of 67s to close. So I think he's coming good. I think in an event that can be a bit strange scheduling-wise... And you do get some big price players going in. Not that he's amazing price at 66-1, but I think he's got enough in his recent form. I mean, looking on here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, last seven events, he's been in the top 25.
It's quite lightly raised, isn't he?
Yeah.
This season.
Yeah. Yeah, he's basically playing two events a month. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's obviously very hot and humid in Memphis, part of the world. So if you've got a bit extra in the tank, it's not going to hurt you either. So... I'll put him up as a point each way on Will Wilcox.
Good stuff. Will Wilcox at 66-1. I'm going to take a real flyer with my final selection here. Seems we've had a couple of complete skinners, as they call them, in the last couple of weeks on the PGA Tour. I'm going the Spaniard, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño, as my as final selection at 300-1. I was only going to have a half a point each way, but I'm going to up it to a point each way, because the more I think about this, the more I think he's got a decent chance of getting into a place this week, Gonzo. He's got very little form, it has to be said. That's why he's 300-1 in the betting. But he has seen the course, finished 46 on his debut last year, struck the ball very well from tee to green at this venue, ranked tied for 16th in driving accuracy, tied for 20th in greens in regulation. And we know historically that his ball striking is pretty good. That's where he stand out, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. I think that's ideally suited to this venue. And you look back through his form, he's got a string of missed cuts. But he did finish in a tie for 16th at the Byron Nelson, where he closed with a 63. That was on his penultimate start. Then he went to Memorial, opened with a decent 69 before faltering badly on the Friday. He played very well, though, in US Open qualifying at Brookside. Missed out on a place in the field by a couple of shots. I actually think his game is coming around now, Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño. It all, as it always does with Castaño, depends on the putter being cooperative. But I like his chance this week on this golf course, so I'll play him a point each way at 300-1. Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño is
a bit of
a flyer.
He's a player I like. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's a really, really lovely bloke.
Yeah.
Really, really lovely bloke. So you're always slightly pulling for him. Obviously, his family relocated to Florida a couple of years ago. Maybe it's not gone quite as well for him anyway, in terms of...
No, I don't think it has. You look,
banking the cash.
He played okay last year on tour and had a host of...
Yeah.
Not top finishers, but mid-range finishers. It's not worked out this season at all yet.
But I mean, he's got a very young, he's got like three young kids, sort of pretty similar age. So he's got it kind of full on since they've moved there. But I keep just waiting for him to have a good week. And yeah, like you said, that Byron Nelson was obviously encouraging. There's some 68s knocking around, isn't there? In his,
I just think this venue's tailor made for his game.
He's obviously it tends to get windy as well. He's a very very good player in the wind with his ball striking. It might be the week. I mean,
if he was in form, he wouldn't be 300-1.
He's one of those players, certainly in Europe, where if you just backed him blind every week, you'd be miles ahead, wouldn't you? Because he tends to maybe win. He tends to have 1 week a year where he just is very, very good and better than everybody. Yeah. If you look in his European Tour win list, there's very few years where he's not won. Basically.
I remember that win, was it in Italy where he went, I think he went head to head with Peter Hansen. I'm doing this completely off the top of my head, listeners, but and the performance that week was arguably as good as I've ever seen. I'm frantically trying to find it now, but was arguably as good as I've ever seen on tour. It was just an incredible, incredible battle between the two, and he shot something like 28 under par in the end, 24 under par.
Yeah.
Him and Garth Mulroy, it was.
Right.
And he just played unbelievable golf that week in the Italian Open.
I mean, you go back, he won once in 2005, once in 2006, once in 2007, once in 2008, missed a couple of years, then he won once in 2011, once in 2012, once in two. So he's virtually, so that's what, seven of the last 10 years he's posted a win.
Yeah.
Obviously all in Europe, but I don't think
that's the hanging question, isn't it? Whether he can produce on the PGA Tour.
But I guess, I mean, look at some of those places. I mean, he's won in China, so he's dotted his wins around the world.
Yeah,
obviously the PGA Tour is the ultimate kind of thing, but he can go to different places and win. I guess St Jude. What would you put the winning score down as?
I'd suggest the. The
so
winning
mid-teens,
yeah, maybe a bit higher than that. So maybe 11, 12, 13 under, perhaps.
So look at his wins: two of them at 11 under, one at 12 under, one at 14 under. It's kind of in the right ballpark. And that Italian one is a bit of a standout in terms of it was a birdie fest. But it'd be an interesting one. Maybe she's just now backing him every week
to one
for the rest of the year.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. The other two names I had on my list, given that I've gone for Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño and Brian Harman, you can corroborate this story. Billy Horschel and Will Wilcox were the other two. So you've picked both those
like
guys.
You're showing me you're working. Like we've just worked out the number thing on Countdown.
That's it. Which I don't think they ever look at that on Countdown. No one's ever said, no, this is wrong. This isn't right here. So I've been through the four names that were on my list. I picked two of them and you picked the other two. So who was closest for you apart from the ones we mentioned?
Yeah, I looked at obviously Ryan Palmer, but he's pretty short. For someone who's not won for so long, he's got obvious credentials. He's had a couple of top fives in the last 3 years.
You're still annoyed with him
a little bit. A little bit.
You've got to be.
But it's more his price, I think, this week that puts me off. Carl Pettersson, I thought, had a chance.
Yeah.
He's got some really good course form, 66-1, not playing too badly. But beyond that, I mean, Viegas was one, but I wanted three figures.
Yeah, 80-1 he is.
He's just qualified. He's just come through qualifying. And if you're worried about, going lots of rounds, well, he's Mr. Physical Fitness, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He'll be doing like 1,000 one-arm press-ups. He probably does more press-ups than Gary Player. That's how fit he is. And he's got astonishingly good course form, Viegas. I think it's like four top 12s in the last 5 years or something. Just a course specialist. So I think he'd be the one, a bigger price, but I wanted a bigger price. Mm.
Just before we wrap up then, you mentioned US. We've mentioned US Open qualifying throughout the podcast. US Open next week. At Chambers Bay, Rory McIlroy 5-1 favourite here with Hills. Jordan Spieth 8-1, 20-1 and bigger the remainder. We don't want to give too much away because Mike will be hopefully back with us next week, Dave, and we want to reveal picks right now. But are you looking forward to Chambers Bay as a venue? Are you looking forward to the US Open?
Yes and yes, but have, throw it back at you. Have you got a handle on what you need to do well on this course?
Well, people are suggesting that Dustin Johnson, I've heard a lot, I've seen a lot of tweets suggesting that he's the perfect fit for the venue. I don't know if it might bamboozle Dustin Johnson. I just think that you're going to need a wickedly sharp short game. You're going to need a variety of shots around the greens, and you're going to need to be able to put incredibly well from inside 10 feet. I think there's going to be a lot of putts missed from inside 10 feet. So I would suggest good putter, great short game, lots of variety, and I think if you can bomb it off the tee, it will be a factor. But if the course is firm, I think that brings in a lot more players.
Yeah, it's a funny one because there's so much variety involved that they're even going to like switch pars on a couple of holes, aren't they? I think that the first and the 18th or something, they're going to play them as a par for one day and a five.
I think which has never been done, has it?
I think that'll break the PGA Tour scoring website, you know.
Well, it did the other way, didn't it? Byron Nelson when they changed that par four into a three.
Techie bods have been thinking about that.
It's the I doubt they will have been. It's the is it the same scoring for the PGA Tour week by week then? Because I know we used to get limited coverage, didn't we, for the majors, which seemed ridiculous. But then for the Masters, they brought out the new shot tracker. I wonder if they've got one for Open
setup. The Masters does their own thing. Okay. So it's USGA. So
have they ever had a shot tracker? I'm not sure they've ever had a shot tracker, the USGA.
No, I think, and then you're scrambling around for anything. Yeah. Who's it most greens?
You're following new people on Twitter, aren't you, every single hour?
Yeah. So on that front, it could be a bit of a funny one. But
what do you think type of player then? Without revealing
the name,
you have no idea.
No. I genuinely don't know.
I've seen a lot of the from I watched Billy Horschel Periscope,
yeah.
And he did a good hour out there. Cara Robinson has Periscope from the course as well, and the greens look terrible when I've seen them. Absolutely terrible. Billy Horschel was trying to convince people that were asking him about the greens that they were better than they looked. Even he seemed a little bit unsure.
Right.
He wasn't very, very convincing when he was talking about the greens. I think you're going to get a lot of short putts missed. That would be my prediction. And maybe that levels the playing field in terms of putting. But
maybe. I know Tiger's gone and played it, hasn't he? And he, because Mike Davis, who's in charge of setup, did say, if you don't come here and practice loads, you've no chance. And everyone pouring scorn on that. But Tiger actually said, well, Mike Davis is no fool. He's not just said that for a laugh. He does genuinely mean it, and he does think seeing it more times than as many as you can. And then I read a quote from Mickelson the other day, who'd gone to play a couple of practice rounds there. He likened it to St Andrews in the fact that you kind of get there and you don't really know what to do. So you've got to keep playing it, and then it starts to... So I think I'm just going to keep an eye on, you know, players who have done a lot of reconnaissance on it.
And that's the problem you've got there with someone like Dustin Johnson. If it is a thinking man's golf course, he's going to struggle, isn't he?
You would think so.
I don't know. I don't know why I'm singling out Dustin Johnson there. Maybe because we always bang on about the money list bet that we've got on this podcast. And we're waiting, obviously, for Dustin Johnson to make his major breakthrough as well. That's an interesting segue, isn't it? I'm looking forward to it immensely, but I'm not convinced all the players are going to appreciate the setup and the golf course.
But then Jack Nicklaus said that's half the battle, isn't it? That's half. You almost make a note of someone who starts sneering, turning their nose up, and think, well, that's good if you're someone who can just keep a clear mind about it. Because those negative thoughts are bound to sort of drip through, aren't they?
It's more difficult keeping up to date with it in play as well, because it's on the West Coast, isn't it? So we're talking 3-4 a.m. finishes, aren't we?
Yeah,
the afternoon starters.
It's a bit of hardcore, isn't it, really, for hardcore golf fans?
It is for hardcore golf fans.
This one, it does look very picturesque, though, doesn't it? It does look like it's a bit
Yeah, I mean, the views look fantastic kind of. With the railway running right the way across the side of the golf course as well. Hardcore golf fans and insomniacs enjoy West Coast US Opens. Everyone else.
And those are like guessing parlor games where you're trying to guess the winner.
That's it.
Because it just looks a bit crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a fun event.
The one other thing I did read, I think, was Sean Martin, who writes for the PGAtour.com.
Okay.
He did say, he's a very big expert on the amateur game, when it held the US Amateur, the kind of final four were like the absolute cream.
Were they?
So it wasn't just like our four random blokes. I think they were right at the top of the rankings or very, very highly regarded.
The one thing I would say about the betting there, I'd mentioned this before the Masters.
Yeah.
I think Jordan Spieth should be closer to Rory McIlroy in the betting.
Right.
McIlroy's 5-1, Spieth is 8-1. I don't think there should be that disparity between the two in the market, given that it's been mentioned on numerous occasions. Spieth's caddy
is
a member there, so he will know every nook and cranny of the golf course, you would think. And Spieth is, I just think his short game has been deadly this season, hasn't it? Especially putting from 5 to 25 feet. I know he missed a few last week, having read reports, but I think they should be closer in the betting. Okay, given he's in good form as well, isn't he, Jordan Spieth, at the moment?
Well,
McIlroy's not in bad form.
Well, he is in bad form, isn't he?
Yeah, he won at Quail Hollow, but subsequently his performances haven't been vintage, have they? So
yeah.
I think those two should be closer together. What do you think?
You're probably right. Yeah. But then, I don't know, do you like either, really? Mm. Or is it just a moot point that you think...
Yeah, it's just...
Because you back someone at single figures on a course
Probably not, but Spieth will enter calculations next week, I think, whereas McIlroy probably won't.
You think you can strike a line through him fairly easily?
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Looking forward to it anyway.
Yes. The puzzle, the crack in the code goes on, doesn't it?
It does, and there'll be a lot of looking throughout the next 7 days. Dave, just recap your selections then for this week.
Good point. Billy Horschel, a point and a half each way in St Jude, and then the other one, Will Wilcox, a point each way in the St Jude, and I didn't have a selection for Austria.
16-1 Billy Horschel, 66-1 Will Wilcox. I'll play a point each way Lee Slattery at 50-1 in the Lioness Open, and two selections for the FedEx St Jude, a point each way Brian Harman at 66, and a point each way Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño at 300-1. Play you don't want to win. Who came closest to making the cut but didn't quite in the FedEx St Jude?
We got the prices back up.
Yep.
I think Harman was on my list.
Yeah.
Definitely. I did toy with Dustin Johnson and Ryan Palmer briefly, but not particularly seriously. I think Harman was the one that was close for me, but you've put him up, so that's fine.
Yeah, and it'd be Horschel for me as well. Okay, he'd be the one that was closest at 16-1. Remember, you can follow myself and Dave and Mike on Twitter. Mike's away this week. At M Grennan for Mike. For myself, it's at D Kellner, and for Dave, you're already following Dave, no doubt. At Dave Tindall Golf, if you're not already following Dave. And myself, Dave, and Mike will be back next week for the US Open at Chambers Bay, where Rory McIlroy, at the moment, is the 5-1 favourite. Thank you for downloading this podcast. You can get us on iTunes. You can get us at audioboom.com as well. Please tell your friends, even if you didn't enjoy it, tell them that you did so they download it. And we'll be back again next week. Speak very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.